This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Worth a try, and he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Well, of course, when you don't have the result that you want, the feeling is that you must improve. But if you can play in the way we did against Chelsea and you play in the way we did against Arsenal 60 minutes, it's because you know how to do it. You must be more consistent, solid, no disconcentration in our box, and the result must return. Well, I have 35 years in this profession, so I know this is always a difficult job. I don't understand why media always are thinking that the managers are under pressure when they are not winning. At least me, when I am winning, I am always exactly under the same pressure to try to be a best team, to try to improve, to try to win every game that always is different. I always think that we have to win every game. The job, you know, doesn't know what will happen. Of course, you know that the football results are so important and you cannot have just 4 points from, or 5 points from 30. This is a very bad average of points, and that's why we are all worried about that. I always want to be honest, winning or losing. No, nobody's happy. Not the owner, not me, not the player, not the fans.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Is he the most under-pressure manager going into the EPL weekend? That was Manuel Pellegrini of West Ham United. I'm Ross, this is On The Ball, and in the studio with me, we've got Roshan Narayan.
Did I just hear on the news that Arsenal said that Carlo Ancelotti does not fit the bill for a club like Arsenal?
That's according to ESPN Fox Sports, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll more about that. Lin Chu is here.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday the 13th.
Dun, 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 dun. Speaking of scary, hi, Bob. Bob Holmes is also here.
Hi. Unlucky for some.
Yeah. All the British people. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. It's BFM Football. More about West Ham United and Manuel Pellegrini later. Well, let's clear up round six of the Champions League and the Europa League, which happened midweek. Liverpool are through from Group E. Group E winners. They won 2-0 against Salzburg. I watched that game. It was 100 miles an hour. There was no way it could have been 0-0 at halftime, but it was. And Salzburg were, well, it was just two goalkeeping errors, right?
And you talk about the how it was 0-0 at halftime. You can just talk about Mohamed Salah and completely missing chance after chance after chance. And you were like, uh-oh, it's going to start again. Because if you remember last season, he went through this phase where he wasn't getting anything on target. But credit to him, he did come back with a wonderful goal. But you've got to ask yourself.
But then that wonderful goal on his right foot.
He can be missing, you know, he's skying the shots and then, you know, he shoots them wide and then suddenly he gets it from this really tight angle, you know. It was just
the one he
amazing.
Shouldn't have scored, he scored.
Big news from that is Liverpool have, in theory, agreed a £7.25 million deal to sign Takumi Minamino from Salzburg. He was the right-sided of the front three. They have a Korean guy and, of course, Erling Braut Haaland as the main guy. But Minamino for $7 million could be the deal of the century, Bob.
Pretty good deal, anyway. I mean, they'll
not the century.
They'll get $7 million from the Japanese buying shirts in the club shop for a start
in 1 month.
It's a very lucrative commercial.
I mean, without lucrative. Wishing to be cynical, but the guy can play.
11 assists so far.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, brilliant. It's a brilliant move. They spotted this loophole. He's got a very low clause in his contract, a low fee. And they pounced. So while all the attention was focused on Haaland, Liverpool have moved in and probably going to get better value with him.
So the scary part is, can you name more than two or three signings Klopp has done for Liverpool who have turned out to be failures? Keita came good in this game. He's the past couple of games.
Yeah.
And they did change the formation to suit him. They played him more of a number 10 towards the end of the game. And you don't see that happening week in and week out with the front three and the three in the midfield normally.
Good shout.
But you have to ask yourself, Is Klopp going to be wrong with any of these signings for Liverpool? He's extended his contract, theoretically, correct, Ross?
Yeah, to 2024. Yeah, yippee. Two extra years for Jurgen Klopp. But, yeah, okay, Liverpool aside, they won the group. The big news, Group E was all the big news in this midweek, because Napoli, who finished second in Group E, beat Genk 4-0 1 hour after the match. Napoli announced that they were parting ways with manager Carlo Ancelotti. Now, fast forward, rumour, 24 hours. He's bound for either Everton or Arsenal at the moment. Well, you heard on the news that Arsenal are interested, but don't you believe it? They're talking. So that's Group E. We've got a whiz on. Chelsea made it through from Group H. They beat Lille 2-1. They finished second in the end behind Valencia in Group H. Valencia won, amazingly, 1-0 at Ajax. So that's Ajax into the Europa League. But Chelsea, after the game, Frank Lampard immediately came out and said, I need more firepower, linked with Wilfred Zaha of Crystal Palace.
Well, there's not much firepower there, is there? I mean, he's a good player, but he doesn't score enough goals.
But he offers them something different, I guess.
I think what he was quoted as saying was he wanted someone to replace Hazard's creativity and the runs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's loosely used in terms of the words he said, but he wanted something to fill the gap for Eden Hazard. But the question now is, I mean, okay, fine, the transfer ban has been lifted, but wouldn't you trust these boys to get you something or other? Maybe what they really do need, in my opinion, is a centre-back.
Yep.
Yeah.
More than anybody up front.
They could probably get David Lewis back.
No, the word is Nathan Ake, right? There's a 40 million clause. He is, at the moment, hamstrung, so...
And he's very comfortable at Bournemouth. I feel at home.
But then, how clever is that 40 million? Because he's worth more than 40 million in today's crazy money.
Yeah, Chelsea. I mean, they act as if these guys are on loan, don't they? I mean, did they really think that that was a good move, letting him go? A player of that calibre for
peanuts.
At that
point of time, they
didn't
have
a choice, right?
They had Rudiger.
They had
a few centre-backs back then when they let him go.
Yeah, but... You know, I think they mucked up there, and it's going to cost them, isn't it? It's going to cost them 40 million.
Yeah, well, 20 million, I guess. They sold him for 20 million. They got a 40 million clause. So they'll lose 20, but really...
It's not going to be as bad as United
it's
and
not
Pogba.
Right, let's move on.
Pogba.
Move on. Jose Mourinho suffered his second defeat as Spurs manager. I think it's a 10-4 aggregate scoreline over two legs between Bayern and Spurs. It was a shadow Spurs squad. Ryan Sessegnon, first start, first goal. But that didn't matter because, I mean, Spurs qualified with Bayern Munich anyway, Lynn.
I mean, they had already qualified anyway. So, you know, Jose chose to rest Kane. That's why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they are going up against a very good Bayern who collected maximum points of 18 points.
Highest points and goals for.
Yes.
Yeah, 19. I mean, that's all Lewandowski, right?
Yeah.
And his size 38.
6 out of 19
boots.
Is Lewandowski, that's right. Yeah.
In Group C, Roshan, Man City 4-1 winners away at Zagreb. They'd already won the group by 7 clear points. Gabriel Jesus rises in December.
Well played, Ross Youssef.
Yeah?
It's his birthday coming up as well.
It is.
The one that was there before him.
Yeah, I heard his mum's coming over, so, which is good.
But for me, Gabriel Jesus, all credit to him and getting his hat-trick, but Foden has proven again for me in that game.
Yeah.
He needs to start on a regular basis. Now, if Pep came out and said he's almost there, he's not ready... This is the same man who said that Claudio Bravo is the best goalkeeper on the planet at one point in time. If he does not see the potential of what Foden can do for Man City, he is that missing spark in that midfield. Silva's going to go soon. I mean, not in Bernardo Silva.
No, David.
David Silva will be going on sooner or later. You need to play him. You need to let him run that midfield, especially going forward. He is the answer for Manchester City. I don't know why he doesn't trust him. I don't know why he doesn't play him. Only that question... Pep Guardiola can answer for me.
He is actually conservative, isn't he? He's Pep. He's very conservative.
Okay, Foden, he needs more chance in the league. Will he get it? Atlanta, big news from Group C. After 4 matches, they have 1 point. They make it through in second on 7 points. They beat Shakhtar Donetsk 3-0 away, so they are through, along with Man City. That's the Champions League. In the Europa League, Man United 4, Alkmaar 0. Juan Mata came back, scored one, assisted one. Mason Greenwood, who's talked about with high esteem in the Man United hierarchy, he scored two. Yeah. He looks like the future.
And I think this is worth saying. United have completed 4,000 games in a row with an academy player in the side.
I'm going to correct you a little bit. It will be 4,000 at the Everton game.
4,000, okay.
It's 3,999.
Right. Do you know what year it was when...
1937. Yes. I'm just scratching my head here. Again.
Right. You must be just United testing. Fan then, Ross.
No, that's an astonishing stat that Bob's just said.
Do you want Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to get the permanent job now, as in he will not be fired at the end of the season and Pochettino to come in?
Do you know what? A cup competition and a top four finish and he's there for a while.
And well, don't you think there's a danger of history repeating itself with what happened last season?
No manager, but no manager is guaranteed now.
He went on that run. Fair enough. I'm not saying that. I will say that Pochettino is a better manager.
Agree.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has gotten something right, but if you've studied the game, if you've watched the game, wait till the Everton game, then wait till the end of January.
The thing is, possessions is 9/10 of the law.
You need a person.
You've got it now. He's done nothing wrong in the last four games, three of which have been high profile.
But how long are the fans going to give him? That's the question.
No, the fans will never turn on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer because he's a club legend. That's the problem.
If they don't beat Everton this weekend, then there'll be more questions asked, I think.
All I'll say is Klopp has built a dynasty at Liverpool that will outlast him. You need another man at Old Trafford to do something similar, and I will tell you Pochettino is that man.
Okay, well, Wolves finished second in their group, Group K. Sporting Braga won the group. They won 4-2 against Slovan Bratislava. Wolves beat Beşiktaş 4-0, so they're through in second. Arsenal came from 2-0 down. They were on the verge of coming second to draw 2-2. So they win Group F. 2-2 against Standard Liège. Eintracht Frankfurt finished second. Frankfurt lost to Vitória Guimarães, but it didn't matter. So it's 11 points with Arsenal. Freddie Ljungberg has conceded on average 2 goals a game, hasn't he?
But this is the Ljungberg bounce, isn't it?
It is the Ljungberg bounce.
Oh, stop it, the both of you.
No, this is as good as a bounce as Ljungberg's going to get. Because he's bald.
Well, who... if Carlo Ancelotti isn't going to get the job, who is? Who would you go for? Lynn?
So that's what I wanted to build on. So you've said Freddie Ljungberg has more caliber as a manager than Carlo Ancelotti. The only thing Carlo Ancelotti has failed at was at Bayern Munich. Now, we don't know what happened behind the scenes. He was asked to let go, but he's a winner at Chelsea. He's a winner at, you know, in the Premier League. He's won titles in Europe. He's won titles in
English.
Spain. He speaks English, Italian, Spanish. I've seen it in person. And the way he was going through these 3-4 languages was nothing but pure class as a manager and as a person to man-manage.
Whoever goes in at Arsenal's got a building job. They need to buy 4 defenders, by my reckoning. and maybe a couple of midfielders.
They need to find a new owner.
But up front, they're all right. They're all right. So Arsenal are through. All the English clubs are through the big... Get bigger, the richer get stronger.
Two Scottish clubs got through as well.
Two Scottish clubs
worth a mention. Yeah. Both Glasgow clubs got through.
Celtic before round six.
So all the teams are from England, Spain, Germany, Italy, and France. Yeah. Where are these minnows?
No minnows.
Where's the dream of a kid somewhere in Turkey playing in the Champions League?
This is the bad news. Yeah, the actual football is tremendous.
Yeah,
I think it's a really, really high standard. The last 2 or 3 seasons, absolutely superb stuff. Headed by Ronaldo and Messi, of course. But, you're facing that problem. As soon as anybody shows any sign, the big clubs come in. Look at Liverpool with Minamito.
Look at Ajax.
Exactly.
Ajax, two best players last season, snapped up, one by Juventus, one by Barcelona.
And how good a time is De Ligt having in Turin at the moment?
It's worrying. We're okay here. We watch it on TV. We don't have anybody involved. We can enjoy it. Mm. But it is actually a worrying trend.
The next round for European competition is Monday evening. So we hope to have that on Monday's show for you. First break. When we come back, we'll start previewing the EPL weekend for you.
Deserved a goal, that. Love the return pass. Just wide.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
What about that clearance off the line? How important did that turn out to be in the end?
On the Ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. Lynn, Bob and Roshan in the studio previewing Liverpool top of the table against Watford. Rock bottom, 20th. It's the early kickoff on Saturday, 8:30 p.m. Nigel Pearson, of course, introduced on Thursday as the latest man in the Watford hot seat.
Well, Nigel Pearson, I don't think, got enough credit for what he did at Leicester. He built the team that won the title that year.
Yep.
Ranieri, of course, got all the plaudits, and he did a great job. But it was Nigel Pearson's team, essentially.
But this is a heck of a job, Bob.
Well, yeah. maybe he'll pull an ostrich out of the hat or something.
No, he's got to pull out players from off the treatment table because he's got about 8 players out, right?
Yeah.
8 or 9.
Yeah, yeah.
And all their first team players are all off injured. And you're going to come back into a job whereby you could have told that the previous manager might have had a bit of an unlucky spell with all these players out. But imagine if Nigel Martin, Pearson comes in right now and sorts everything out.
He might have a chance with this new manager bounce thing because I suspect Liverpool may put on their second stringers. Just like what they did in the Merseyside derby.
Well, look what happened there.
Yeah, I mean,
second stringers, they are not.
No.
Well, they remind me of United of 99. There was no second stringers there. The bench was equally good as the players starting.
5-0, 5-0, 6-1. Watford's last 3 at Anfield. So don't expect too much, Nigel Pearson and Watford fans.
Well, I think he's only watching from the stands, isn't he?
That'll be the wisest move.
But you never know. Come on. It's the Premier League. It's Watford.
Roshan mentioned the injury problem at Watford. Craig Dawson, Daryl Yanmark, Tom Cleverley, Hollebas, Prodil, Welbeck all out. Yeah.
Yep.
Welbeck. He never gets injured, does he?
No.
Poor guy.
Yeah. The only question mark for Liverpool is Lovren in the last 2 games brought off with suspected hamstring. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
So Lovren is out. Gomez is apparently going to start beside Van Dijk. Mm-hmm. Which, once again, is
Van
not
Dijk
the worst.
Just, he's like a Rolls Royce. He just cruises into positions. It's really annoying. I mean, it's really good. That's what I meant to say. Did I say annoying? Liverpool versus Watford is an 8:30 p.m. kickoff. So it's first versus 20th. The Premier League is a sick joke. First versus 20th, Liverpool versus Watford. Second versus 19th is Leicester City versus Norwich City. Brendan Rodgers, we've mentioned before, doing wonderful things. Jamie Vardy has 16 goals in 16 matches.
Yeah, after that 9-0 over Southampton, you wondered whether they could sustain it. But they've won every game since.
They've won every game since. They do leave it late, though. They take a while to get going, Leicester. They tend to get going in the second half. And, all right, let's talk about Norwich. We understand that they want to be expansive, but there's got to come a point after 16 matches and when you're 19th, maybe Daniel Farker should go, listen, boys, long ball game.
The problem with Norwich is they keep conceding goals.
Yeah. That is a problem.
Norwich and Watford are almost identical in terms of their problems.
Yellow's going down.
I'm not talking about their jerseys, Ross.
Oh, sorry.
But their style of play and the problems they have, you're right. Defensively, there is not enough cover in that midfield for the back four or back three or whatever shape they have during the game. I think their game plan completely goes out the moment they get rattled and they completely...
Yeah, they just crumble.
It's ironic how they're so similar, the both of them, in terms of how they capitulate during the games. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, probably Norwich more, actually.
Yeah.
Don't you agree? Leicester, massive month coming up for Brendan Rodgers and Leicester City. It's January, it's transfer window. Jamie Vardy's probably safe, but James Maddison's been talked about. So Yonchu is fancied by a lot of top clubs.
He is the most underrated defender. I spoke about this before we came here.
Ben Chilwell as well, rated by many. Basically,
Arsenal and Chelsea could be looking at this too.
Right, exactly. So if you're
Man City, I think are very.
But
keen
Mendy
on
came
so
back. He seems pretty decent. Mendy in that game in Europe, he played well.
He's
back to what he was
for central defence.
No, I'm talking about Chilwell as well as the centre backs. It's a match made in heaven for clubs like Chelsea, for clubs like Arsenal. Even if you look into Europe, the centre backs and the left backs are good enough to play anywhere.
British pundits have been quoted as saying that if Man United come in for the likes of James Morrison with the right money, He'll go. He's gone.
No, I don't think he'll leave. I don't think he'll leave Leicester City at this point in time because I can
probably not feel this season. They wouldn't something. Be right this season. But is he a United player? Is that what they want? Is that what they need?
Yeah, yeah, I think he is. Definitely.
Is he better than Jack Grealish?
Ooh, definitely. Slightly,
I would think so.
Slightly
I
different.
Actually think so.
Slightly
as well.
Different. Maybe.
I think Maddison is more consistent than Grealish. Grealish has his moments. Yeah, he's got that wonderful
Leicester,
goal against.
Leicester, you mean? Leicester.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But you're talking about Grealish, right? Just in the comparison.
Grealish and Maddison.
He did score that goal against Manchester United at Old Trafford,
which
was a fantastic goal. But for me, Maddison gives you more.
Mm. Well, he fits the bill, doesn't he? United want to buy young British players.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Oh, God, here we go again. Everyone's on the United shopping list.
all right, Leicester versus Norwich, Saturday, 11 o'clock kickoff. Chelsea in fourth take on Bournemouth, who are, what, 18th? No, Bournemouth are 15th. Five defeats on the trot Bournemouth are staring at.
Yeah, too bad for Eddie Howe, isn't it? It makes you think that he should have left before this happened. I mean, it's bad luck with injuries, of course, but... it was always going to happen because they just can't sustain this with a ground of 10,000 capacity. And he's in danger of tarnishing his reputation if they go down. And it'll be unfair.
I think he'll stay with the club if they go down.
They might well.
They won't sack him. But then, like Bob said, you're tarnished.
Yeah, I mean, he should be in for the Arsenal job or the Everton job now.
Okay,
I feel like we've dodged a bullet there.
You reckon, Lynn, wouldn't you have Eddie Howe?
I don't know. He always seems to me like, you know, a big fish in a small pond.
Oof, that's a decent shot. If he was good enough, someone would have come from by now.
Yeah.
Well, Everton is a bigger pond than Bournemouth.
Yeah.
But you've got to
but we
take
have more
a gamble.
Ambitions now.
Ooh. Would you rather have Ancelotti than Eddie Howe?
Yeah, I don't know. Somehow Eddie Howe reminds me a bit of a Little Moyes.
Oh.
If you want to put things into perspective.
What's a Sean Dyche then?
Oh, Eddie Howe better.
A better Big Sam.
Yeah. If you look at all these clubs that have come in with a manager and they've changed things up, I think Brendan Rodgers is the only person that has come in into different clubs from different leagues and he's changed the game around. You look at, you know, when he went to Celtic and all those things and he was changing the entire system for me.
Chelsea, fourth. This one should be a home banker for Frank Lampard and the boys. It's nearly 100 Premier League games under his belt. Is that right? Wow. We've mentioned who we think Frank Lampard should maybe buy. We did mention there's a 40 million buyback clause with Nathan Ake. And
Rudiger coming back is a big thing.
Well, this is it. At the moment, Chelsea actually look quite solid. And you make the point. If you actually let it develop, that might be the right way.
Christian Pulisic is the second highest goal scorer after a certain Abraham. A guy who might not feature in the Premier League is all of a sudden Chelsea's top goal scorer. Is everybody's phones on in the studio for some reason?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. If you're listening to the podcast, it's our Christmas sound effects. Yeah. But yeah, Chelsea 4th, Bournemouth 15th, Saturday 11 o'clock kickoff. We won't get sacked though, 15th, and they won't get relegated, Bournemouth. Will they?
There's an outside chance,
they
are in
danger.
I mean, I think Watford are probably odds on to go down. And then it's between Norwich, Bournemouth, Southampton probably.
Oh, that's a massive shout, Bob. But a decent shout, nevertheless.
Hmm. Could West Ham?
No, they'll change. They'll change their manager. They'll get a better manager in. He'll save them.
I mean, if you just look at the points, there's nothing much to differentiate Brighton and
12th. Two wins, two defeats will take you either way, right?
Yeah, right. So 12th, Brighton, and 20th, Watford. I mean, there's enough and more there to see things change around. If you want to go further and make it more tighter, Everton in 14 on 17 points. I mean, Norwich is on 11 in 19. So how can you change that? By a few games. Two wins, and that's it. You're out.
All right, well, sorry.
Everton won't go down. They don't go down.
That's not even a...
The miraculous escapes that Everton have pulled
that's
off...
That's not even
in the last
a medium-sized shout.
Yeah, but, you know, look what happened to Villa.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, no one is immune from it.
Look at Newcastle. I mean, then again, we could laugh at Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. I think Bruce is doing a great job. All right. Bournemouth dropped to 15th. They are trying to avoid six consecutive defeats in the league when they travel to Stamford Bridge on Saturday at 11 p.m. to take on fourth place Chelsea. We're going for another short break. Our EPL preview continues right after this.
It is a fine goal.
Fine header, fine goal.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Fine save by the goalkeeper, spreading himself.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Thanks for sticking with us. Lin Chu, Bob Holmes and Roshan Narayan in the studio. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. It's BFM Football. Continuing our look at the weekend's football, probably the manager with the biggest pressure on his shoulders going into the weekend is West Ham United's Manuel Pellegrini. They are currently 16th, the Hammers are. One win in 11 matches. They are away at 18th place, Southampton. The word is Pellegrini will be sacked if West Ham lose.
Well, not surprising, is it? I think he's been a bit fortunate to survive this long, actually.
That result against Chelsea saved him?
Yeah.
Bottom
time? I reckon.
But then, yeah, the word is, right, I was reading an article which said the Chelsea win was masterminded by Pellegrini's number two. The players all responded to it. The two games, consequently, afterwards, after the Chelsea game, it went back to Pellegrini's style. So there's a word like he will get sacked and the number two will relinquish, will have control temporarily. So that's the word. I've been reading all these forums and stuff. But yeah, most pressured man, they've spent money, they've just not played well. What's wrong with West Ham this year?
He doesn't look interested, quite honestly. It really does look like he's just there for the money. He's, he's never been a very hands-on manager. It wasn't at City. At that time when they won the league, it was actually what they needed after Mancini, who had his hands around everybody's throat. So to have Pellegrini follow him, everyone welcomed that. And City were just about at their peak at that time. The Silva and Aguero and all that were a lot younger than they are now, and they were always going to sort of win the league. But he's not really distinguished himself since then. I mean, he comes across as a wise old guy, but apparently he does nothing in training. He leaves everything to his subordinates.
Yes.
And this has followed him around Europe. You know, he was like this in Malaga as well. And Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And you wonder how he's managed to get these jobs.
They've got a £45 million striker, Sebastian Haller.
Yeah. He's brilliant. Before he joined in the season when he was in Germany, I said, I've been watching this boy for quite some time. He's the total package. He's big, he's strong, comfortable with both feet, can head the ball. But he's not being used in the right way. And just a theory, if I was Carlo Ancelotti, would I like to live in London?
Well, do you reckon? I think West Ham's not big enough a job for Carlo. Seriously,
and Everton is. I mean, no disrespect.
Everton is bigger than West Ham for me. I don't know. It seems that way. I think if it was London, it has to be Arsenal, right? That's the big job.
But he's not cut out for the club.
Well, the hierarchy don't like him. I don't know. What about Southampton? Hasan Hüttl is trying to build something here. It will all not work if they get relegated. Obviously, the 18th. There's a stat here which says Danny Ings has scored in 9 league games for Southampton this season, of which they've won only 2. That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, scoring. But they've done reasonably well, I think, since that 9-0 drubbing by Leicester. I mean, everybody was ready to write them off and send them down, weren't they? But they've adjusted quite well. They've shown a bit of character since then. And I think they can beat West Ham here. I think they've got more about them. And, I mean, I've just written off Pellegrini, basically.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
So I think Hassan Hüttl.
But I think it'll be a blessing in disguise if Pellegrini does go. He would have found an answer by now. It's December.
One thing we do know, we did all mention before the show, is that West Ham don't have a history of sacking managers. They tend to back their men.
Yeah, they do.
But this was starting at the end of last season itself. This poor run.
No, this is it.
And if your players, I mean, it's the saddest thing to say, but if you've lost the dressing room and if they're not responding to you and your tactics, then there's only one thing: player power is in full effect in this day and age. You talk about West Ham being honest and truthful to their managers, but if you're going to be relegated, and if you're a club like West Ham, I mean, any club can go down. We've mentioned this before, but you'd rather be in the Premier League, isn't it?
Yep. And Southampton will be as desperate, if not more.
No, but they could go back for David Moyes, you know.
Ooh, that's that name again.
He did okay at West Ham.
Yeah, but they never liked him, right?
It's the West Ham way, remember?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he did a reasonably good job there, to be honest. Yeah. And he left. He didn't have a contract, and they just let him go. They didn't sack him. Mm. They just didn't renew his short-term contract. So it's not an impossible situation. I don't think Everton want David Moyes, do they, Lynn?
Of course she wants. Look at her.
But
she's
Bill
smiling.
Bill Kenwright may want him.
Bill Kenwright? Well, yeah. He doesn't call the shots anymore, does he?
Yeah.
Well, Moyes is having a nice Christmas. He's eating his Christmas pudding and mince pie going, yeah.
But it's funny how so many clubs are just sacking their managers.
Well,
in such
crazy. It's Christmas. We said it. All right, Southampton, West Ham is your late Saturday night. So it's 1:30, early Sunday morning. That one kicks off. 18th place, 16th. Man United versus Everton, 5th versus 14th. Is a throwback to the 90s, this one. It's Solskjaer against Ferguson.
Battle of the old boys. Yeah, a little bit interesting game. I think Duncan did really well against Chelsea, but, you know...
He's not going to be hugging any Old Trafford ball boys this weekend.
Oh, no, he might be strangling them instead, you know. I mean, he did well. He really motivated the team, but, you know, passion is not going to bring you far. It'll only bring you so far. So it remains to be seen, you know, whether, you know, tactically he's any good.
I think Everton can surprise United this weekend. Sorry, Ross.
Yeah. Now,
I feel that Ferguson is the right man currently for the job. Whether Carlo gets it, I'm not sure. But Ferguson has inspired the squad. He has lifted that squad. You saw the crowd go, yes, everyone could say, oh, it's just temporary. But Jurgen Klopp has been doing it for how many years? Inspiring the crowd, which inspires the players.
Yeah. Including the ball boys.
It might be a good old elbow from Ferguson to one of his, you know, players in the training ground or whatever, but he's gotten this team up and going.
What they were, Everton, in their last game was they were compact against Chelsea. They were 4-4-2. They were really compact. Big question here is, if you're Everton, if you're Duncan Ferguson, do you go to Old Trafford and attack them?
Well, I would go on the counter.
Yeah, I think so. He's not going to park the bus, is he? I don't think Duncan Ferguson is capable of parking the
bus. He'll put himself on. He'll come out of retirement and go up front with Maguire one-on-one.
Manchester United this season under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, a lot's been said about how they fare well against the big six, but it's the middling teams, the ones that don't attack too much, that sit back, that give United problems, right?
And as a manager, you should have an answer for that. Not blame your position.
Well, I mean, but if you're all you have to work with is, what, Matic, Fred, McTominay, Andreas Pereira.
It's not that bad a squad. Okay, up front, maybe there's kids coming through. That back four is pretty decent, apart from Ashley Young. Your goalkeeper is still one of the best in the world.
Ashley Young was the first player above the age of 26 to score for United this season.
He's still a bad player. There's nobody else to play. It's only up front, which is a bit indecisive. You bring back Paul Pogba into this squad, I think he will flourish. He's got all the runners.
But then Pogba, you're not sure which report to read. He may have won the United shirt already for the last time. He may be Madrid bound. But then Solskjaer was quoted as saying that he will be back in December. So he might even, you know, make an appearance this weekend.
The only thing that's lacking in United is a proper striker. A world-class striker. Harry Kane is not going to go, according to Jose Mourinho.
Here's a name I'm pulling out of the hat. Cavani is in the last year of his contract. I know United have talked about and looked at Mandzukic, which I understand has since been rejected. But if you're doing that, if you want a plan B, Cavani has got goals in him.
A bit of a hit and miss at times, but he's still top class.
Yeah, it's a good shout because he wouldn't cost anything, would he?
Exactly.
In his last, he's got the experience.
And your midfield, Christian Eriksen, you might be able to get him for as little as 15 million. You go to Levy and say, listen, 15 million now or nothing in the summer.
15? No. Levy will want more than that.
It's Daniel Levy, Ross. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. 15 and a few noodles or something. I don't know, book vouchers. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of gossip. United Everton, massive game. It's going to be one of your big shouts, right?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep. sorry, Lynn.
let's quickly look at Wolves versus Spurs. Wolves, of course, in Europa League action, they're sixth. So it's sixth versus seventh. 1 point the difference. Jose Mourinho, we've seen, five games now as Spurs boss. Two defeats.
Exactly. When was the last time you saw Jose Mourinho start at any club and lose this many games? So quickly. It's happening, folks. The myth is finally dying.
He hasn't brought the bus with him, has he?
No. Well, that's the thing. London buses don't work. Dele Alli is the one who's probably profited most from Jose Mourinho coming to Spurs. 4 goals and 3 assists in 5 games.
What about Son? He's not done too bad, is he?
Son.
Of the season.
Yeah, the goal of the season, and then couldn't get a high five from his boss as well, right? Yeah.
You know who else is not going to get a high five? Danny Rose! What did he say, Ross? Come on.
He came out this week, and I think he was asked about what about the boss, and then Danny Rose came out and said something like, "You think Jose's in charge of Spurs, do you?" Like, kind of insinuating that it's Levy who runs the show, really.
But this Danny Rose story is a bit sad.
Danny Rose is running his... Spurs have got Danny Rose and Christian Eriksen basically wanting to just run down their contracts. They don't want to talk about new ones. They don't want to... They might be sold if you can find a good club for them, but they're not... But they're good players, right?
Levy, I think he's slipped up a bit here.
And then you can add Arda Varel as well to that list as well as another one, contract running out. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's unlike him to let guys of considerable value run down their contracts. Mm. I mean, it was a complicated situation with Pochettino and the ground and everything else all last season. But still, to have a guy, especially Eriksen, I mean, a guy who's, £50 million
plus.
Who ran
the club.
Yeah.
The best player.
Going for nothing. Yeah.
Crazy.
That's disrespectful. And you must ask yourself, Jose is not that stupid. He's definitely got players in mind come January. But the problem is, will Daniel Levy give him that money for him to go spend?
Exactly, because we know Jose's tastes are quite expensive. Mm.
Yeah,
he likes the flashier watch, doesn't he? And the bigger car.
Yeah. You talk about January. I actually think something may happen this January. I think there's a few clubs who are lining up to sign players, which they don't normally do. Mm. I mean, City, if they're serious about this season, if they're not going to write this season off, they've got to get a couple of defenders. Centre-back, absolute priority.
Alderweireld is not that bad, but cup tied in the Champions League.
Let's
talk about City. Let's talk about City when we preview the Arsenal-City game. But funny you should mention Zlatan. I read somewhere that Everton have offered him a $4 million a year contract.
Sounds like some really blown up rumor.
He's 38, though. Can he? Isn't it going to be too cold up north? I don't know.
He won't suit the system. If Everton do buy him, it's just, I won't say political ploy, but it's just for money to get the jersey signing. There is no way this man can enhance a team like Everton for one simple fact. They need movement up front. He's not going to move unless...
And his ego is too big for them as well.
Yeah, and then imagine Ferguson there alongside him. Oof, that's like a WWE main event WrestleMania right there.
That's a documentary that's in the making.
Somebody had a go at his statue again, eh? Did you see
that's
that?
That's because he invested in the biggest competitor.
Yeah.
I forgot the name. Malmo's biggest competitor.
Hammarby.
Oh, so, yeah, was it?
Yeah.
So he's gone and invested in that club. Yeah, so they've gone and broken his statue again. So they put a fence around it now. God bless you, Zlatan.
Right, other Premier League games. Bury against Newcastle United. We should mention Burnley versus Newcastle United. Because Steve Bruce is actually doing an all right job. We've got to say that.
Well, he's doing a fantastic job, isn't he?
Isn't he?
He really is. So he's written off by everybody, isn't he?
How good does Mike Ashley look right now?
Genius. Oh. Absolute genius.
That's a soundbite for a future promo with that one. All right, final break. When we come back, we're going to preview the big one, Arsenal v Man City. Also going to give you 3 big shouts and the treatment table all next.
Worth a try, and he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Deserved a goal, that. Lovely return pass. Just wide.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
We're still here. Lynn, Roshan and Bob previewing Arsenal in ninth, taking on Man City, who are third. It is your Super Sunday game, so 9:30. Early hours of Monday morning. Arsenal, of course, through in the Europa League in midweek. Man City through in the Champions League midweek. Yeah, both teams have problems coming into this one. Who do you want to start with? City, defensively?
You know what I'm looking forward to? What? Corners for either team, and then David Luiz squaring off at Otamendi. That is a defensive masterclass in the making, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, big question mark over John Stones. He didn't even last an hour of the Manchester derby, went off injured. By my reckoning, Otamendi is the only centre-back that Pep Guardiola and Man City have.
Yeah.
He's also a weak link, I reckon.
Absolutely.
He's very prone to making mistakes.
Yeah. No, Pep is paying dearly for not replacing Vincent Kompany.
Because Harry Maguire was too expensive.
Yeah. Which, how ludicrous. Rubbish.
It boiled down to something like just under 10 million they didn't want to spend. Right?
I mean, they've only spent 2.5 billion on Man City. You know, I mean, it just doesn't stack up, does it?
Even if it wasn't Harry Maguire, another defender.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Any other defender
absolutely
would have done.
Absolutely.
This is his arrogance coming back to bite him.
Mm. Yeah, well, Fernandinho has been doing the job. He's doing well,
yeah, but he's deprived of him in midfield. Mm. And he's their best player, I think.
Rodri, as good as he is, not a Fernandinho.
He needs time. He needs a season to bed
right
in.
Absolutely right.
And absolutely. So City are weakened there. Plus up front, Sané missing is quite massive. Any team would miss Sané missing. Right? So third, Arsenal, let's look at Arsenal now. World-class front three.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Pepe, Lacazette, Aubameyang, hard push to find a better front three.
And that's where it stops for Arsenal.
Well, this is it, right?
Man City's midfield is better than Arsenal's midfield. And Man City's, this one is harder. Who's worse, the defense?
Well, this is it. So Arsenal are at home. Ljungberg recorded his first league win. It was to come from behind against West Ham. It was also a come from behind draw in midweek. If you give City a 1-2 goal lead, they could crush you.
Hmm. But they haven't been doing it this season, have
they?
No. It's not quite there, not quite clicking for them.
We say their front three is fantastic, but they've scored 24 and conceded 24. They're dead even.
Arsenal,
yeah. Mm. Which is quite shocking because now it goes back to Freddie Ljungberg. Does he use all three consistently? We talk about the Ozil factor. But you cannot separate these teams anywhere else apart from the defence.
But they're also late bloomers, this Arsenal. You know, they tend to do better in the second half only. Just like in Europa, you know, they only started waking up in the last 15 minutes.
I feel City is such a big, big team to not be on your A game.
Well, basically, Man City have to come into this weekend and go nothing less than 3 points here.
Oh, yeah.
Till the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're 14 points behind now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't make that up, do you?
I can't see Watford putting up much of a fight at Anfield this weekend.
No. I mean, the question of has been raised about them, they're going to concentrate on Europe. But that defence is not
good
for purpose,
enough,
is it?
Yeah, well, okay. Well, Laporte is back mid-Jan, February sometime. Well, if you're Pep now, you still need one more body. Wouldn't you go out and sign someone? Who would be an ideal
get somebody on loan. Anything is better than just not doing anything. Because you talk about City being in third, fair enough. They're just 3 points ahead of Chelsea. Eight ahead of United. We've been talking about the bottom half of the table and how things could just change like that over a couple of games.
Yeah, 2-3 games, done.
And the one thing they can't do right now is defend for their lives. They could score goals. Jesus gets in your hat-tricks and so on and so forth. But at the back is their problem.
Yeah, I think they've got to go for this Soyuncu of Leicester.
Koulibaly's been mentioned. He's always a big name signing. He comes at a price as well. You're talking 60, 70, 80 million.
Champions League.
This is it. This is it. So ideally, Soyuncu, but can you see Brendan Rodgers and Leicester letting him go?
No, not
this season.
At least not in the middle of the season. Yeah.
No. So, well, he's got Eric Garcia, the young centre back, who never plays, but he's highly rated. Well, this is Pep's conservatism again. He doesn't play these young guys like Foden. He seems reluctant to play him. Even more reluctant to play Garcia. He should have played a few games by now, and we'd see whether he's any good or not.
Mm. If only they wanted to buy like Phil Jones or someone. It could be so easily sorted out. Arsenal 9th against Man City 3rd, 12:30 Monday morning. That's your weekend's football. Here is your treatment table.
Who's in? Who's out? Stay on the ball with the treatment table.
In the early kickoff on Saturday, Liverpool will be assessing the fitness of Dejan Lovren, who has been substituted in successive games because of apparent cramps. Joel Matip is out for the rest of 2019 with a knee injury, while Fabinho and Nathaniel Clyne are also still missing. Watford are hopeful that defenders Craig Dawson and Daryl Yenmaat will be available following respective hip and ankle injuries. Tom Cleverley, Jose Holabas, Sebastian Prodl and Danny Welbeck remain injured. Leicester boss Brendan Rodgers revealed at Thursday's press conference that aside from Matty James, he has a fully fit squad for the visit of Norwich City. For the visitors, Grant Henley, Tim Klos and Josip Dermich remain unavailable for selection, but Daniel Farke has no fresh injury concerns. Chelsea will be without long-term absentee Ruben Loftus-Cheek when they entertain Bournemouth at Stamford Bridge. Olivier Giroud and Fikayo Tomori are doubtful. Bournemouth's injury crisis continues and got worse last weekend when Nathan Ake limped off against Liverpool with a hamstring injury. As well as Ake, Eddie Howe will be without 8 other first-team players on Saturday, including Steve Cook, Charlie Daniels and Josh King. Oleksandr Zinchenko is in contention to make his first Premier League appearance since October when Man City faced Arsenal in the weekend's big match. The Ukraine international has been sidelined after undergoing knee surgery but made a return to action on Wednesday evening and played the final 24 minutes of City's win over Zagreb. John Stones limped off after 58 minutes against the Red Devils last weekend, and after missing out against Zagreb in midweek, he is a doubt. That would mean Nicolas Otamendi is the only fit centre-back for Pep. The Gunners have no fresh injury concerns to report. That wraps up this edition of The Treatment Table. Enjoy the football.
Producer Tasha there with The Treatment Table. Don't forget to sort out your fantasy football teams.
Time for the big weekend shout.
This is why we pay them four figures, really. I'm talking time, 0.00 cent. But yeah, Roshan, let's start with you. Big shout for the weekend. You can put your house on this one.
I'm going to steal Lynn's thunder. Everton to beat United.
I'll buy you a drink if you're right.
Or if it's 2-2 at the very least.
Duncan Ferguson to beat up Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Old Trafford.
Mm. That, you should be happy with that.
Yes,
that is
happy,
a big shout.
But nervous as well.
Yeah, don't worry. I believe in Big Dunk.
All right, Lynn, what's your big shout?
I'm going to go for Villa, the game that we didn't get to preview. Villa against United.
Sheffield United.
Yeah, I think Villa has been playing not too badly, and I think they have enough quality to win this game. They're going to be facing the relegation battlers after this, like they. Consecutively, they're going to see Southampton, Norwich and Watford. So, you know, these six-pointer games are really tough. So I think they'll be bouncing back for this game against Sheffield.
Chris Wilder's Sheffield United, we don't say enough about what a great job he's doing. Sheffield United are eighth, halfway to safety, 22 points, right? Halfway to that magical 40 points. Bob, what's your big shout? Is it the derby of hate, which is happening Monday night? Crystal Palace against Brighton. Not a lot of people in Malaysia probably know about this, but in England, Crystal Palace and Brighton fans absolutely detest each other.
No one really knows why.
With a vengeance.
But, no.
It's like you said, the Eagles versus the
Eagles versus the Seagulls. But no,
birds
I'm not going to go for that.
all right, what's your big shout, Bob?
Arsenal. I'm going to go for Arsenal. I think their attack is sufficient to cause mayhem at the back for Man City with only one central defender. It was not very good, Otamendi. I think those front three at home can cause trouble. I mean, I think City can also cause trouble for Arsenal. It could be a high-scoring game, but I'll go for Arsenal to get something.
You forgot to put the condition with the condition that Lewis doesn't start.
Oh, I don't mention David Lewis anymore.
Yeah, so who's going to take this Arsenal job? I mean, it's a massive gig, right?
Ancelotti is the guy, I think. He's the right guy.
He should have, but unless the club realise that everything they pulled off a fast one...
They want someone who can speak English properly, right?
Oh, yeah, he can. Yeah.
Was Emery harshly treated at Arsenal?
No, he got a season or more, didn't he? I don't think so. He got a fair shot.
I think
shot.
Arsenal Fan TV has too much power. It's just way too much power.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know what? There's some truth in what you just said. Right, that's it, guys. We're out of time. So it's many thanks to Bob Holmes.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Lin Chu.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend.
And thank you, Roshan Narayan.
Good evening and good night.
Indeed. Bye-bye.
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is now.
Follow BFM Football on Facebook and catch On the Ball next Friday on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.